Hey, folks, this is Jason Kirtman with the Biscuits and Gravy Show. I have, we're using AT&T, the goodness of the cell phone services, because I woke up with some computer problems this morning. My computer, on its own, without my authorization, decided to upgrade to Windows 10 overnight. Seth said, well, you can just revert back. It should only take about 10 or 15 minutes. Well, it did. But it apparently won't stay connected to the internet. So I can't seem to access the clean feed or anything. I'll work on that a little bit later on today. And I tell you what, I hate the Windows 10. Paul Sanchez, Master Sergeant Chez, is on the line with us. How are you doing today, Paul?
Semi-conscious and breathing. And yeah. I got to tell you, Jason, I am very upset with the service at this restaurant. Told me that I was going to get biscuits and gravy this morning. I could make my own coffee. Okay, and the waitress has not come by to get my order at all, so I'm already upset. I'm just saying.
For those of you that don't know, Master Sergeant Chez is a little touched. He's talking about his own kitchen.
What are you about to do?
Yeah, I know better, Paul. Yeah. So, there's a reason why we've and Jim, I know this is a complete surprise to you, but there's a reason why I invited Chez on the, this was kind of a last minute thing late last night. I told him what one of our topics was going to be today, and he was like, oh, I'm all about that. I can talk about that. But I want to touch on a few, things real quick. A shout out on my end to the Otero County Conservatives. Chez and I are a member of that group. Do you go to the Republican Party group meetings, Chez?
I used to, but as you know, there was a schism, I guess you would say, about a year ago.
Yep, I remember that.
Excuse me. And when that happened, I didn't appreciate all the context of what occurred. So the group that broke away from the local RPOC, they formed the OCC, and I started going to them. And to be perfectly honest with you, the OCC is the most active political group. I don't want to say party, because
right.
Party implies fundraising and stuff. We don't do that. We're a political group here in Otero County, and but we do the most. We set up the debates this year. I believe you were one of the moderators, one of those debates.
Oh, what fun that was.
Yeah, that was a blast, and you did a really good job on that.
Thank you.
But we set up the debates. We have candidates come to our meetings. We do things outside of the meetings that we have a much larger freedom to do things now that we are not affiliated with any party. It lets us set our own agendas, I think that's pretty cool. And then the other part of it is if you go to on Facebook, I don't know, Jason, have you ever heard of Facebook? It's this new technology.
Yeah, I heard about that. Jim, have you heard about Facebook?
Just occasionally and frequently, and yes.
It's amazing. I love Chaz.
Every minute.
Yeah.
So, but on Facebook is the Otero County Conservatives is their Facebook page, and they almost by double, I think, have more likes on that page. It's up to 905 the last I looked than any other political page in our basin.
Yeah.
In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if all of the other pages added them together and you'd still have more on the OCC page.
Yeah, it's pretty large.
A lot of information.
Yeah, it's pretty large. I gotta commend Chez. Chez is my buddy. He goes up. What week is it, Chez? This is just a real simple question. I'm sure. What week is it? The third Tuesday of every month. The city county commission.
Third Tuesday.
The third Tuesday.
You're asking me about the county commission or the conservatives meeting?
Well,
the
meeting, no. That's the third Thursday.
Yeah, that's third Thursday. No,
I mean,
6 p.m. Come early by 5:30 and have a bite to eat with us down at the Hitcher.
Yeah. When is the city commission though?
The city commission meetings are the second and fourth Tuesdays of every month.
Okay.
With the exception of November and December because of the holidays, they switched to first and third.
Right. Okay.
And those now start at 6:30 p.m.
Okay.
So you're going to say something about something I have to do,
well,
county?
Chez goes up there and with the BigBasin.com broadcast that live, which I really appreciate it. He broadcasts it live on YouTube, and it's recorded for other people to listen to and watch. And it's in the YouTube, the Big Basin, which we've added. By the way, Jim, I got to tell you this. This is pretty cool. I checked the Roku apps this week, and we've gotten a few more downloads this week of people who are watching the Big Basin on their Roku channel. If you're listening right now, you can go to thebigbasin.com and just scroll down the first page and click on a link to that. So that is really cool. Me and my son, our goal is once a week to update a local, make a local video of something that's going on, one of our local attractions, or just something, might even be a commentary or something, and have that on the Roku channel. We'll change that out. The goal is once a week. So, Jim, how are things in your world today?
Not too bad. Weather's fairly mild. I understand you folks have got some heat down there, but we're not doing too awful bad.
Which, I'll tell you what, we'll talk about that for a topic, and then we'll move into the big topic. And this is the reason why Chez is on the air with us today. But you know, it is really hot. Chez, was it last Thursday or Friday? We hit 107 degrees.
Now, mind you, we're in southern New Mexico,
right?
And it absolutely feels. I mean, you know, I'm out in my wood shop during the day, and you know, my version of air conditioning is the garage goes up and the side doors open,
right?
And you know, there are times I like to, when I stain and piling a piece of wood, especially during the summer when it's nice and sunny, I'll put it outside and let the sun bake it.
Right.
Yeah. Huge mistake. The sun bubbled it. I had to completely take everything off the wood and start again. It wrecked my project. Yeah, it's like the surface of the sun. However, for those listeners that might be out in Arizona, they're going, what, 170? Are you kidding me?
Right.
That's what we got in the shade. They've got like 120 going on out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to put a link on our blog later. There's a website, Tricks to Sleeping in the Heat. But it's not just sleeping in the heat. It's keeping cool, just in general. One of the things that was mentioned was like soak a towel in water and put it in front of an open window, or hang it in front of the air conditioner or whatever. There's some good stuff. One of the tips, which I actually read this, and I never would have thought of doing it, and I might try it. I don't know, but sticking a clean folded sheet in the freezer for about 10 or 15 minutes before you go to bed, and then unfolding it, it'll probably crackle a little bit at that point.
Well, it just depends how much you soak it in water before you put it in the freezer as to whether it crackles or not.
I guess so, yeah. So I would not probably.
And the towel in front of the window?
Yeah?
The towel in front of the window trick, that's the poor man's swamp cooler.
Is that what that is? Okay.
That's exactly what
that is. A lot of listeners may not know what... Jim, have you ever heard of a swamp cooler?
I've heard of it. I don't know a lot about it.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, Chez, but basically it is not air conditioning. What it does is it takes...
Absolutely not.
It takes water, and basically it doesn't really mist. It's kind of like a humidifier, correct? Right? How does that work?
I'm going to... No, you're not even...
Okay.
How about that? No.
I don't have a swamp cooler, and they're all over the place here. I have two window units.
I can explain it easily. Okay. Think of a radiator in your car.
Right.
So you're driving down the road. You want to cool your engine off. Okay. So you run water through your radiator. Right. Hot water coming out of the engine.
Right.
And it cools in the radiator and continues to circulate from there. Correct?
Yeah. I got that.
The swamp cooler is the exact same concept. Okay. You have pads on the three sides that are exposed to the air outside the house that are continuously soaked with running water. You keep about 2 inches of water in the bottom of the thing and the little pump that pumps it to the top of the three pads. And I'm talking large, probably like 3 foot by 3 foot pads. The pads stay wet, and then there's just a big tumbler fan inside the body of the cooler. And so it sucks the air through the water and kicks it out through your front. So it does add a little moisture to your air. It's nothing like a humidifier. And here's the other thing people don't often understand about swamp coolers, where with an air conditioning unit, it can be 100 degrees outside, And depending on the size and of the room and everything else, for an AC unit, you'd get cooled down to 70 degrees if you wanted to do that.
Yeah.
With a swamp cooler, you're only going to knock 15, I think, degrees off of the ambient temperature.
Okay.
So if it's 120, you're only getting it down to like 105. But because it's moving air, it'll feel cooler and it'll be pretty decent. Okay. So swamp coolers can be really effective, especially if you have a large swamp cooler and a relatively small room. The other thing people don't know is, unlike an air conditioner, where you have all the windows closed and you run the air conditioner, because what happens is the air conditioner sucks in the hot air and blows out cold air.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Swamp cooler doesn't do that. It blows air out, period. So if you want air to flow, you have to have a window cracked at the opposite end of the area that you want cool. So air goes out somewhere. So there's a couple of tricks to owning and knowing what a swamp cooler does. They are extremely effective in dry climates.
Okay.
That's why I never knew. I'm from New York and L.A., and I never knew what a swamp cooler was until I hit the Midwest and the Southwest. And then I'm like, what the heck is that thing? And they work really, really well. But you have to have a dry climate in a damp, humidity type climate. They won't work at all.
Right. So
that's Swamp Cooler 101.
I am going to put a link to this article on the blog when we post today's podcast. I want to move right along to the big topic, because I expect this to take us at least 20 minutes. And I'm going to turn the mic over to Jim. Jim and I were talking about this last night, the concept, or the lack of concept, or whatever the case may be, of time. I don't know how to start this off, so I'm just, have at it, brother.
Okay. Well, I'm going to start in a weird spot. First of all, some people deal with time and the notion of existence outside of time very clumsily, because we're limited by our perspectives.
Right.
For starters. And some people, just to take care of one issue, walking in, some people will look at time and say that time is really just an idea. It's not a reality. Well, that's not true. And we can demonstrate that very easily. There's a concept that is called the arrow of time. And this gives us a notion that time has a direction. We're able to know this because time, we can remember the past. But if time was merely a concept and had no overarching reality, then why can't we remember the future?
Okay.
So this gives us a notion that time has a direction. If it has a direction, then it is a real item, if you understand what I'm saying.
I agree.
Yeah.
Okay. So time is a reality, but time is a physical reality. We don't have a problem with that unless and until we start trying to bring God into it, and we'll do that in a moment. But time is a physical reality. We know this because time is affected by mass, gravity, and acceleration. You can actually slow time down. We've been able to demonstrate this with highly accurate atomic clocks, sent some out into space, and found out that when they came back, their earthbound twin, they'd have two of these clocks that were synced to each other. The earthbound twin progressed at the normal rate that we would consider, but the one that went out into space and traveled at speeds that you cannot reach on Earth had actually slowed down. And there's a tiny, but for atomic clocks, measurable difference. So here again, we have a demonstration of the fact that time is a physical thing. Now, here's the question we run into. Does God relate to time the way that we do? And I'm going to just go out on a limb here. God does not relate to time the way that we do, because, for starters, time had a beginning. Whether you accept the biblical account of things or whether you believe in evolution, it matters not at all. Or I should say, in this case, the Big Bang Theory, because we're talking about cosmology, not evolution. It had a beginning. It will have an end. So it's finite. God is infinite. Okay, so we have to be careful when we deal with that. Now, when we start, it's really important for us to have a notion that God is not just bigger than time. Time doesn't have a hold on him. A lot of times we'll run into situations where folks of one ilk or another, and I'm honestly, with God as my witness, I'm not trying to take a shot at anybody, but you'll deal with some Calvinist brothers, and they have this idea that they can get God figured out with their logic.
Right. I know a few of those.
Okay. Right. Because our logic suffers the same problem that the rest of our perspective does. Our logic is limited by our language. Our language is limited to our experience, and our experience is exclusively time-bound.
And it's sort of... I don't want to interrupt you, but let me just add that anything that we perceive, the act of the perception itself alters what we're perceiving and our ability to perceive. Am I on the same track with you?
It's a different concept, but it is related in the fact that we are still we are victims of our position within all of this.
Absolutely.
And because we're not God, never going to be God, we are finite. Okay, God is infinite. But let's see, where was I on that?
You were talking about Calvinists.
Yes.
I interrupted your thought. I'm sorry.
Okay, Calvinist brothers have this problem, and I don't want to, and I'm not being false here. I'm being absolutely sincere. Their problem is a strength in other areas. If you take a Calvinist brother and you put him into a conversation on apologetics, he will do a fine job. Their logic is very, very precise. They do a very, very good job with apologetics in other areas that do not relate to time. And the fact that there's a consistent problem here tells me that I'm really on to something here. A Calvinist brother is going to start having problems with God and some of their theology when they start to deal with things like predestination versus free will, even though both are taught in Scripture. They will also have some difficulties with when they start to try to deal with some of their eschatology. There's reasons for that. We may or may not get into that at a different time. However, getting back to predestination versus free will, well, what you end up finding out is that this concept, once we have our notions about God straightened out with regards to whether he's accountable to time or time's accountable to him, in our heads we say, well, of course God isn't accountable to anything except his own holiness, okay? But when it comes into practicality and we start trying to work out our doctrine in our heads, we start to realize, no, we're bringing some errors to the table because of our time-bound perspective, and we put things upon God that we should not. Time finds its context in God. We find our context inside of time. So back to predestination. The whole debate between the Calvinist and the Arminian, or I should say those who believe in predestination versus those who believe in free will, is that a Calvinist looks at predestination, and they're trying to use time-bound logic to address an issue that exists in eternity. Now, eternity, the Scripture talks about eternity. In Isaiah 57:15, it says, God's referring to himself. He says, I am the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. Everything finds its context inside of God. God does not find his context inside of anything else. This is where we have a problem, because everything in our experience, except God, finds itself inside of the larger context of three dimensions of space and one dimension of time. So when we start talking about predestination, and the Bible talks about this, there's several contexts in which it does. We are told as Christians that we are predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's not salvation. That is sanctification. So we can take that and set that neatly aside. There are other places in Scripture where it says that we are predestined according to God's foreknowledge. And I would say that this is not simply foreknowledge in the sense that God simply knows the future. I'm going to say that God is already there. I think it's very curious, and Scripture bears it out. God says that I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. When we look at the name of God, the I am statement, I notice that he does not say I will be. He does not say I was. He says perpetually, I am that I am. God is perpetually in the present tense. All times are perpetually and eternally now to God. Now, with predestination in play, God doesn't simply know the future. He's already there. Now, that could just be a funny theory, but let's go back to Scripture. In Ephesians chapter 2, it talks about the fact that we are seated, present tense, with him in the heavenlies. Now, some people will look at that and say, well, that's just an artistic way of speaking. No. The more that I read Scripture, the more I end up finding out it's speaking less artfully and more literally. And it's we've assumed that it's speaking artfully because we don't understand what it's saying. But when it says that we are present tense with him in the heavenlies, I don't believe that that's artful. I believe that he is saying from the perspective of his eternal being, seeing all times as now, and not just all times, but eternity as well, as a completely different domain outside of time, that from his experience, we're already there. And that's why he can speak about future events in absolute accuracy, because to him, they've already occurred. They are occurring. They have occurred. He experiences them all simultaneously. For us, this is a problem. For God, because he's God, it's not a problem.
Jim, if I may interrupt here for just a minute.
Sure.
This herein lies what you're talking about right now. I came up with a kind of a model in my head of how we could look at this and kind of get an example or kind of see how this concept works. And I talked about this a little, and it's not without error in some areas, but it gives you an idea. Imagine a record player. You know, back in the day, they used to you put a piece of vinyl on, and you could actually record. They had home devices that would record on a piece of vinyl. So imagine a device that, and we'll take the number 6, for example, just because it's on the top of my head, but it in actuality, it would be an infinite number. A record player that plays multiple records at the same time. And the top one is recording. That is what I call the free will record, what's happening now. The other 5 under it, they're all playing at the same time, but they're all playing at different points of time. And one is playing what has not been recorded yet. And the others are playing what has been recorded. Some of them are, they're just different. Let's say 3 of them are playing what hasn't been recorded yet, and 3 of them are, but they're all at different levels. Now, these records that are being played are glass. They're transparent. And as God would look down on his record player of time, he is seeing all points at one time.
All points that he's experienced them. We got to be careful when we say at one time, but it does stand
at time in our logic.
Example there, it all happening simultaneously.
Simultaneous. That's a better way to put it. At one time in our logic, I should say. Chez. Actually, I'm sorry, I interrupted Jim. I'm going to let Jim finish his thought, and then Chez, I'm going to go to you in just a moment here and get your thoughts.
No, I'm not talking to Jim. James, you are doing a fabulous job, okay, and I do not disagree with anything you have said so far. You're doing great. So you are not finish your deal, bro. I'm going to let you have all the help you want.
Go ahead, Jim.
Enough to hang myself with, probably.
I'm just saying, bro,
Well, the subject of... And this is kind of the reason that I got on this rant, is that I'm starting to realize that there's a lot of the problems we see with Scripture that are not actual problems. They are problems in our perspectives. And one person will get off on a particular bent because they feel that they understand it and that makes things make sense to them, and another one goes another direction. And they look at their various perspectives and they think that there's a problem. the problem doesn't exist in reality. The problem only exists in the fact that they're two finite human beings that have latched onto one aspect of Scripture and have failed to grasp the balance that the whole of Scripture allows for itself. Now, we talk about predestination and free will. The Bible talks about both. So are we to then say that God is contradicting himself? No, not at all. God cannot lie, and God will not contradict himself. So the problem is that we have not had the information we've had since the time of Einstein to understand that time really is a physical thing, to start to iron some of this stuff out. But what that does for me and for my satisfaction is it just goes to prove further that God is before all things. He is after all things. He is the first cause. He is the last effect. It's all summed up in him. Predestination versus free will. We look at these concepts as if they are antithetical to each other, and they are not. God, from a non-linear, non-subjective, non-time-bound perspective, sees all of these things as already done. And so from his perspective, it is already done. But there's two different perspectives here. There's God's perspective outside of time, and there's our finite perspective inside of time. God is seeing this as already done. We are seeing it as a process in which we're still making choices. Now, these two perspectives, they're not antithetical to each other, but neither are they in competition. They are complementary to each other, and God understands all of that. In fact, he entered time once upon a time in a little town called Bethlehem,
right,
to live a perfect life, die a sacrificial death for my sins and for yours, so that we don't have to pay the penalty for our sins, but that as we place our faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, we can have a home forever with him. That's my preaching. I'm going to get off of that soapbox for a minute.
Okay.
Well, you got. If you're going to handle it, you might as well put that in there, right?
Right.
Predestination versus free will, it is a false dilemma. It does not exist in reality. We look at Scripture and we see both of these handled. Well, we would expect to see both of them handled because Scripture is talking to us about God in eternity and us in time. And
right,
it's trying to relate the mind of God to the heart of man. So we should not be surprised or feel that there's any kind of a conflict here when we see both of these perspectives handled in Scripture. But if we handle them in exclusion one of the other, if we don't handle them in a complete understanding, then we are going to be confused. And we are. And that's where a lot of our fights come from. Now, just to kind of play this out just a tiny bit, maybe a teaser trailer for a future conversation, prophecy. You know, God can preserve his word perfect, pure, and intact, and I believe that he has. The question is not, can God, does he have the power, does he have the technology to preserve his self-revelation of our condition and his provision? The question is, how does he verify that to man? Because when we approach his word, we have to be able to have a sense that what we're dealing with is trustworthy. And the Scripture itself tells us that we are to try the spirits. Okay, so fine. How do we do that? Well, the way that we do that is also provided in Scripture. Bible prophecy. Because God is outside of time and can speak of events that have not happened as though they are already done because to him they have, prophecy comes along and lets us know that the Bible is the Word of God, not the Sutras, not the Vedas, not the Tao Te Ching, not the I Ching, not the Quran, not any of these other man-made books, that the Bible and the Bible alone can speak with divine authority. Why? Because it is able to discuss events that have not occurred in complex chains of events. We're not talking about Nostradamus-type coincidences. If you look at it in the right phase of the moon, it sounds like it might be something. You might have some reference to the Titanic, or you might have some reference to Hitler in Nostradamus' work. You have to hold that up at the right angle in the light before you get that. But the Bible speaks of complex chains of events already done. And then you look in the Old Testament, and any prophet had to fulfill the requirement of 100% accuracy. And the Bible puts that same requirement upon itself. In fact, we're told in Scripture that the if a prophet gives a word, says that it comes from the Lord, and the thing come not surely to pass, we are given an active commandment. Thou shalt not be afraid of him, because he has not spoken a word from the Lord. But this idea that God is able to speak of complex chains of events, and prophecy functions as a verification of the balance of the message of Scripture, is just another part of how having a proper understanding of God and how he relates to time,
it's
in a fashion that he has a hold on it. It does not have a hold on him. And the last thing I'll say, I promise, is going to be that in Revelation, we are told that there will come a time when time will be no more.
Right, right. Which we were talking about this last night in the form of,
yes,
you know, eternity is never ending, but what if eternity is not an element of time, so to speak, because we're in heaven, and if time's no more, then, it's self-sufficient just to leave it at that.
Well, we end up with a problem, and the problem is that we look at eternity and we assume time, again, for the same reasons we've already discussed. But time is nothing more nor less than a sequential ordering of events.
Right.
That is how things are ordered, okay? And that's the way that we take it in. We're given a spoonful of time called a second at a time, and then another, and another, and another. But eternity, what we have to say about eternity is that we don't know how events are ordered in eternity. We don't have a beat on that. We've never been to eternity. We don't have
right.
a concept of how that even begins. We only know that it does, and some atheists will look at that and say, "Well, see, you're taking that on blind faith." No, it's faith, but it's not blind.
You know, you just
because we already understand. Go ahead.
You just reminded me when I was about 12 years old, a guy from our church came over to visit my dad, and he had just bought this new watch it was like a self-winding watch. You didn't have to manually wind it. But it was broken, and he had to manually wind it. So he took it back to the store, and he complained. He said, "This thing is supposed to be self-winding. It's supposed to take care of itself." And he used the term for eternity. And the woman at the counter said, "What is an eternity?" He said, "I wish I could tell you."
the really smart people
right.
understand the limits of their own knowledge. And that's really what I'm getting at here.
Okay, and I want to... Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I want to throw one other thought in there. You mentioned the prophecy in the Bible. So it's kind of like this. I always considered prophecy as a prediction of the future. But in God's eyes, when he tells his man, the man of God, who prophesies, he's not really telling the future. He's telling you what the next track is in the playlist.
Yes. Yes.
That's the way I'm perceiving
yes.
what you said a while ago. It's not, hey,
no,
this is probably going to happen.
That's pretty accurate. Yeah, God's definitely not playing the probability game.
Right.
He's from the place of knowing, not supposing.
Yep. Jez, I haven't forgot about you, brother. Of all that James has...
Well, I am here. I am letting you guys have all the rest you want.
Well, do you have any comments or anything you want to throw in there?
As you know, how shy I normally am, so I'll have to break out of my show a little bit. Whatever, dude. okay, so, James, I inherently agree. Excuse me, my chair just flipped on me. I inherently agree with everything that you said. The points that I would like to make, which are generally in agreement with you, but I want to simplify them so that a pinhead like me can understand it, okay, is that we, as you said right at the beginning, we live within the arrow of time. We are a linear being, which means we move forward in time, and until somebody makes a machine based on Einstein's theories, that's not going to change. okay?
Right.
So we remember the past. We don't know the future. And we do our best to predict the future, but we have to get there. We haven't got there yet. I don't know what's going to happen in 5 minutes from now in the conversation. I can get some. I have some predictions as to what one of you guys or both of you might say about this, but I'm not there yet. Until I get there, that's when I'll really know what actually happened. So we are linear. That's step number one. Step number two, God is infinite, and he sees all. He is the Alpha, the Omega, everything you just said there. I agree 100%. Now, here's where the problem comes in, and you also address this, okay? But this is where I'm going to add a little bit. We are inherently incapable of understanding that paradox. That if God is infinite and he sees from the beginning to the end, knows every hair on our head, hang on a second, my dog's going berserk. Sorry. He just suddenly started running around my room. He was, you see, now I didn't predict that. That's part of time I didn't know. But anyway, the point is that because we are within the box, okay, and let's go back to Schrodinger's cat. That if you put the cat in the box, okay, you put a poison in the box, and you close the box, and you cannot see, you have no measurement in the box, is the cat, at any given moment in time, when you release the poison to kill the cat, okay, and I know it sounds like a really harsh experiment, but Google it, it is a theoretical experiment, okay? The
question Schrodinger's cat.
Absolutely. The question becomes, is the cat alive or dead? Well, until you open the box and observe, you don't know. So the nature of the observation is what defines what did or did not occur. Okay? Now you have to remember, you don't have a camera in there, you don't have a microphone in there, you have no way. It is a completely sealed box. So you don't know. It's like the old, is the light on in the refrigerator right now?
Now I understand.
And that'll make Jason nuts. For the rest of the day, he's going to be by his refrigerator opening and closing. but that's the same theory. So the thing is that when we say God knows, and I'm getting to my point here, Jason's just tripping. He's actually walking over to the refrigerator right now. But my point is that, are you having fun, Jason?
I'm done now.
I hear you slamming the door, you clown. Anyway, the point is that we, from our linear perspective, are absolutely incapable of understanding God and his perspective. We have no ability to do that whatsoever. And in my humble opinion, you could try to explain it all day long, but it is inherently a paradox.
Right.
That how can God be, not just know the future, but be in the future and in the past? Well, if we are a linear people and God is not linear, there is no possible way for us to understand what being outside time is. It's just simply not possible.
So,
you can logic.
Now, I'm going to have a little bit of fun, and I'm not disagreeing with you, I promise. But I'm gonna pick at the language just a little bit. But in spirit, we're really not disagreeing.
Mm-hmm.
For starters, we say that it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. There is a capacity that we have that affords us understanding. It's not a perfect understanding. It's not a complete understanding. But it is an understanding of at least a portion of this. See, if we had no understanding, none whatsoever, not only would we not understand the content of what we're discussing, we wouldn't even understand its existence. We would not even know that the thing existed because we are utterly, completely incapable. But we are aware of the existence of this problem. And there, the capacity that I'm referring to, I mentioned before blind faith. Faith is not blind. Faith is, by definition, a definition that I at least impart to it, faith is a kind of understanding. Because at the very least, faith understands that there's a boundary condition, that there's what I know, and there's what I don't know. And that the things that I don't know still exist in reality, but they exist in the hand of God. And so while I may not know the why, the who, the where, But I do, I should say, I don't know the where, the why, or the how, but what I do know, and this is the transformational aspect of this, this is where this conversation goes from simply being an academic head trip into something that can actually change our lives, is we know the who.
Yeah.
We know the who. We know God, who has all of these things in his hand. We know him. So when we go through problems in our lives, and we're sitting there and we're saying, God, when am I going to get out of this? How am I going to find my way through? Where are the resources to cope with this going to come from? Those questions ultimately never satisfy the human soul. We think they do, and that's why we ask why. But when we get the answer why, you know, why did my girlfriend leave me? The answer to the question why is not going to satisfy. It really will not. But the answer, who holds my hand, absolutely and completely satisfies my soul, because the answer to that is none other than Jesus Christ himself. Okay. And I find it interesting within this whole conversation that his ministry on earth was set spinning upon one hinge, Calvary. And it may not be exactly technically correct, but there's a certain legitimacy to human memory. How do we remember Calvary? B.C. and A.D. All of history is sent spinning on the hinge of his cross. Time itself, there is not a person in this world that does not measure time by B.C. and A.D.
Wow, that's good, Jim. I never thought of that.
Okay. And I don't dispute that, but I'm a half a degree off of where you are. All right.
Okay.
And where my half a degree comes in is that I understand what you said about we know it, because we know that God exists. Okay. But you mentioned that through the hand of God is how we know this, and that it's not impossible. Okay. What I would submit is
right.
that very early man, the caveman, whatever you want to say. Okay. Very early man. Did not necessarily understand time from man's perspective at all. They simply accepted what God told us, okay? And
right.
they just existed. Well, as time went on and we became more aware of our world and how the stars rotated and the planets moved and all the rest of that stuff, that is when we started measuring time. And through the measurement of time, that's when this paradox came into existence, because man created the paradox, okay, of time, all right? Now, how do we know that there is this paradox between God being outside of time and man being inside of time? We know it because of God's word, okay?
That's right.
God tells us this, okay? So this is where I would disagree by half a degree with you, is that I don't think we, in and of ourselves, okay,
thank you. You got it.
Know it. Okay.
You got it.
I think God told us it.
Let me just add here, this is the easiest job I've ever had.
No, you're absolutely correct. We don't in and of ourselves know it. God did tell us in his word. We have another aspect there that supernaturally empowers us to know these things, and that is the indwelling of his Holy Spirit. Because outside of my own capacity, I don't think that if I was left to my own self and even a general grace was removed from me, I don't think I would know what 2 + 2 = 4 is, because I'm so tainted by sin. I'm a mess. I'm a wreck. Any understanding that I have, even in the flesh, I think is like a basic understanding of math. I believe that's a general grace. So that when we start talking about, you know, how do we understand God's word? Well, God's word tells us how we understand God's word. He provides
there
the Spirit, and that gives us understanding. And there are places in Scripture where the Holy Spirit is referred to as the Spirit of Truth. And by that supernatural empowerment, we have the capacity. But you said it exactly right. In and of ourselves, we do not have the capacity.
Correct. Now, this is where I want to switch to I actually now have two zingers or whatever that I watch across the tank here.
Real quick, guys, I'm going to ask that we limit this topic to 3 more minutes if we can. We've got some other stuff to cover.
I know that. I was looking at the clock, but this is the key point that I wanted to bring in. Okay, and it is. So here's the final paradox, which can't be talked about in 3 minutes, but I'm going to just throw that out there as something for us and our listeners to ponder. Okay, and this is it, and this where all of this, to me, comes down to the crux of it, is we have now discussed to death, and I absolutely agree with where we ended up, that we don't understand time, but we are linear people. God has told us about time, so now we do understand it, but God is outside of time. So if we accept those concepts, then there's something else that God also told us that is contradictory to everything we just said, but if God told us it, then it is true, okay? And it is that we have, what are the words I'm about to say, Jason? We have free will.
Right.
Okay?
Yep.
So here's the problem, okay? And that is, how can we have free will? In other words, the ability to choose anything we want to do. If I want to take a sip of my coffee, it's me that's making that choice, and I'm going to grab my cup and I'm going to spill it on me or whatever, okay? And it is my choices that create that moment, okay? So if that moment right now is unknown, am I going to have a sip of coffee now or in 1 minute? Okay, if that's an unknown and it's my free will that dictates that, how is it possible that God actually already knows it? So does that mean that our fate, our history, our time, everything, eternity is written? It's already done. God knows every moment of it from the beginning to the end. Okay, so if it's already written, then we have no free will. But God says we have free will.
I'm actually very glad that you brought that up.
Okay, so let me finish the thought. Let me finish my thought, and then
go right ahead.
This is going to make us shut up, okay? And my final thought is, this goes back to what I said a moment ago. That's why I set it up. This was putting you up there to knock it off, okay? And it is that we don't know about time unless God tells us. God told us these two things. I don't believe through logic or anything else that you can have a discussion that relates to God and time. You can discuss God all day long and through what his word is, make decisions or come to assumptions and have faith about that, okay? You can talk about time all day long as a scientist and an atheist that doesn't believe in God and make assumptions and predictions, et cetera, on that. But because of these two things being diametrically opposed and contradictory, we do not have the capacity, if we make the assumption, which obviously three of us do, that God always tells the truth and that he is infinite and everything else. We do have free will, but he already knows what the free will is going to be. Okay, which in our finite minds is a concept that is impossible to understand. So you either have faith and accept that that's what it is because God said it, or your head explodes.
Okay.
Those are your two choices.
Okay.
I'm done.
I hate to play the moderator again, Chez, but...
I'm done.
Jim, 30-second response?
I'm just bringing around, and now let's cut him off before it says anything.
Okay.
Jim, really make him nuts.
Jim, do you have a 30-second response for anything or comment?
Oh, wow.
Set you right there, didn't I, buddy?
I will say this, that I don't believe that they are contradictory, but we are still victims of our perspective here. We do have free will. We experience our free will. It's so close to us we can't ignore it. If we were in the same room and I hauled off and socked you in the eye, God did not foreordain my sin to sock you in the eye. Because now what did that just do? That made God responsible for my sin. Oops, we've got a problem. No, free will is a reality, but the fact that God accesses all of this, all moments, from an additional dimension,
right?
That is dependent upon his eternity, that we do not have available to us. We accept that on faith, because Scripture says so, but that faith is not a blind faith. It just is not a complete knowledge of the contents of what we're talking about.
Okay.
Okay, right. Jason, yep. I know you need to get to the next thing.
Yeah.
I have one quick comment, and I'm totally done. And that is, seriously, it's an easy one. It's going to make both of you laugh. And it is simply that you could consider this whole discussion in the perspective of Men in Black 3. Okay, the movie Men in Black 3. And the title of the court you're going to make. No, I'm not going to make the point because it'd take too long. Okay, so I'm just simply going to say is that after this discussion, all of our listeners that their heads are now completely rotating on all three axes, what they need to do is they need to go watch Men in Black 3, and that is a possible, but not probable, answer to the question. Okay, so I'm not being atheistic about that. I'm just saying that there's so many answers that it's impossible to know.
Right.
Men in Black 3.
Okay, we're gonna move on because we literally have less than 4 or 5 minutes, and we've got to continue with our biscuits and gravy morning tradition of the national days of the week. Jim, do you have your tracker up?
I do. Can I do a quick shout out?
Sure, do it.
Ultra quick shout out. Narissa in Dubai is listening in, and so is Debbie in the Philippines.
Oh, yeah. Okay, great. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Okay. It is National Catfish Day, and Chez is from the East Coast. I'm from the Mississippi region, and I will make it very clear here that you cannot get good fried catfish here in southern New Mexico. You can't. It's impossible. I've got an idea to work on that maybe in the future. It's National Leon Day. When I first saw that, I thought, oh, it's for people named Leon. But actually, that's not what it is. Leon, spelled backwards, is Noel. We are at the halfway point, 6 months exactly from Christmas Day. And that's why it's National Leon Day. Crafters use this day to start getting ready, making their wreaths and other holiday crafts. Getting ready for Christmas. It is also National Strawberry Parfait Day. Jim, you want to take the next one?
Okay, I'm looking at the tracker here. Strawberry Parfait Day. June 26th, National Beauticians Day.
Yep.
Get yourself looking pretty.
There you go.
Also National Chocolate Pudding Day. Thank you.
Very good, yeah.
Well, and that's really fun because there's Thank You brand pudding. National Take Your Dog to Work Day.
No.
I do that all the time. I walk out to my garage and Atlas, my fifth floor, he's with me.
I gotta ask, Jess. Do you buy? You had an invitation to the tracker. Are you by chance on it?
I didn't know you sent it to me, so no.
Oh, yeah, it was the last time you were on the show with me. That's okay.
You guys press on.
Okay.
You guys press on.
Monday, National Orange Blossom Day. And for those of us who are required to wear prescription glasses or wear contacts and can, National Sunglasses Day, the ultimate fashion accessory. I love sunglasses, but I don't wear them that often because of my prescription.
Wayfarers.
Jim, I'm glad the next one landed on you. Go ahead.
National Paul Bunyan Day. Ho, ho, ho. No, that's the wrong one. National Insurance Day. National Insurance Day. Now, who do you think invented that? I'm thinking insurance companies.
I want to go back to National Paul Bunyan Day because that's a Michigan thing. Right?
Is it?
Now, you weren't aware?
I've lived in Michigan all my life.
And you've never heard of Paul Bunyan?
No. I've heard of Paul Bunyan. I just didn't know that it was a Michigan thing.
I think it's Michigan and Wisconsin, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Paul. There's a great big statue of Paul Bunyan up there at the Lumberman's Monument up in the northern section of the Lower Peninsula.
Yep. I've actually driven by it a couple of times. Okay, moving right along. June 29th, which is Wednesday, it's National Almond Butter Crunch Day. And I'm going to celebrate this Wednesday. National Camera Day. You will hardly ever find me without at least two cameras on me. I love taking pictures. I love documenting my community, odd things I see. And National, this sounds like a politician's holiday, National Waffle Iron Day. So, yeah. You remember when the hotel started serving waffles you made your own in the little flip irons?
Those are awesome.
Those are cool. Those are the highlight of going to a hotel for me, and I don't know why. I could make waffles at home anytime I want. Jim, take...
Comfort Inn Suites.
There you go. Go ahead and take June 30th.
National Meteor Watch Day.
Yeah.
Social media.
I would want to be like that.
Yeah.
Social Media Day and National Handshake Day is the last Thursday in June.
I got to tell you,
I'm sorry.
Chez is a social media guru. He you talk about carpet bombing or shotgun blasting. He is the master of it. And that's one of the reasons why I put him on the
bombing.
Yeah.
What I don't understand is you're saying that there's an actual date for this. I thought that was the 365 deal, you know?
Yeah. No, and National Handshake
Day.
I think
I'm woken up in the middle of the night texting, so...
Yeah. He wakes up and his hand doesn't go for the snooze button. It goes straight for the submit button.
It does.
So, Thursday's National Handshake Day. Hey, you know what? I'm going to make it a personal goal to shake 5 hands that day.
There you go.
It can't be your own.
Right.
The other people.
Okay. And Friday. Jim, take Friday.
Friday, National Postal Workers Day.
Uh-huh.
National U.S. Postage Stamp Day.
Yep.
And, here's a tasty one, National Ginger Snap Day.
Yep. I got to tell you, like any post office, you have times when you want to just kick them in the shins. But personally, speaking, our local post office here in Alamogordo, I think they do a fantastic job. And we have a mutual...
Go ahead.
We have a mutual friend... Chez, that works at the post office.
Rich.
And I think I'm going to congratulate him on that day for a job well done.
Remind me, what day is that? Friday?
That is Friday, July 1st.
Okay, got it. Noted.
Yep.
I will give a shout-out to Rich, who's also a member of the OCC that day. I have several friends that are post men and women around here. And I actually know the postmaster, and I agree with you. We have a really good post office here. Very reliable.
And I've been to a lot of post offices across the country. I got to say, ours is my favorite. And even
when did you say you went postal across
no,
the country?
No, I've been to many post offices. And I got to say this. I have been in there before when I was the 14th or 15th person in line. And I really, even for being that far back in line, never had to wait that long. Never did.
Right, Jason, we're down to the last minute.
Yes, we are, folks. We are going to call it a day. Thank you so much for joining us on the Big Basins and the Leading Edge Radio Network out of Dallas, Texas. Check out thebigbasin.com. Sign on to the Roku app and join us next week. The podcast will be available by the end of the day with some links to some of the things we mentioned. I would like to say thank you to our guest today, Chez, who contributed quite a bit. And why am I not surprised? And also,
I don't like to cause trouble.
And also, it's 8 o'clock. We are off the air. Have a good day, folks.